Welcome to the Small Business Conversations podcast. My name is Melita Ngalonkulu. Ditching your full-time job in order to pursue your dream of being an entrepreneur is not an easy decision to make. This week, we speak to Vusi Thembogwayo, who's no stranger to interviews on the business front. He has made waves internationally, and he is the CEO of My Growth Fund. Vusi, thank you so much for your time. Vusi, how did you make the big move?
Sure. I mean, my journey is a bit interesting because it was kind of entangled. I started doing public speaking when I was at school. And then just immediately after that, I started speaking professionally. So I kind of started invoicing clients as I was, developing a career in corporate. And then I did kind of had my first business in around the, 06, 07 time. That didn't go particularly well. I got a job. And immediately after that job, I then started my second business. So I've been blessed in the sense that I've had opportunities all across my life.
But Vusi, I suppose that transitioning from a full-time job and to entrepreneurship is not an easy journey.
It's a tough one. I think one of the things you recognize the minute you become an entrepreneur is the support functions you have when you're in a big corporate, right? So when you're in a big corporate and you're in operations or you're the one doing deals or transacting, there's a whole ecosystem of support. If there's a team member who's not performing, HR will support you. If there is a marketing challenge, marketing will support you. If there is an IT problem, IT will support you. When you become the entrepreneur, certainly in the early days, you are HR and marketing and IT and the rest of it. So, I think that's often where many entrepreneurs actually get bogged down is they stay right at that early stage, firefighting and putting out problems, and they don't allow themselves the space and latitude to grow. My recommendation, by the way, for most people who want to get into business is actually that you should get a job first. It's a great opportunity to learn how to run a business by being mentored by people who are professional managers, but also learn on somebody else's balance sheet rather than your own.
Vusi, what challenges would you say that you had faced and how did you actually cope?
Sure. I think, well, it depends, right? So market access is always a big challenge for most people. As you launch a business, it's how do you get customers and how do you build a brand. So that was a challenge in the early days. And what I learned actually is that the answer to that challenge is just slog on. That's all you can do is show up every single day, make commitments to clients, and then see those commitments through. And if you default, because you'll make an error sometimes, that you own up to those errors every single time. So that was a big challenge in the early days. And then as we started growing, the challenge was around how do you build a business and scale it without over-leveraging on your balance sheet, right? So, you've got a 10 million rand opportunity, but you've only got a million rand worth of assets. How do you make sure that you can tackle that opportunity, deliver on that opportunity without tarnishing name and reputation, and at the same time without over-leveraging yourself as a business? So, that kind of growth stage business, that was an interesting one. And now my challenge really is around managing complexity. So the way I've built the business is we now have a network of partners all around the continent, and it's really just around managing complexity. When you realize that in delivering the product or value that you said you would deliver to your clients, you don't do it alone. You've got other people with whom you work, and you rely on their processes and their systems to make sure that you're efficient. So that's kind of the challenge that I'm dealing with now. But the answer to each of those has been to recognize at each time where I'm capable and competent and where I lack, and then onboard the competencies that you lack, right? So, and it's a big skill, I think, for many entrepreneurs to understand. Early days, the skill might be you don't want to be doing the IT support yourself. But for me now, the skill is if we're doing something in Uganda or Kenya or Tanzania, I don't necessarily understand the local nuances around legislation and regulation. So find somebody there who's going to be a partner and support you. Either way, it's about managing networks, managing relationships, and making sure that you're managing expectations.
Vusi, when you've been working for a company for a long period, doing the same old job, you tend to lose a sense of perspective. How do you move away?
Yes.
How do you move away from that when you're running your own business?
It isn't without a sense of difficulty. I think for the people who are front end in most big businesses, it's easier. That's not to say it's easy, but it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dealing with customers every single day and you're at the coalface of how the business works, if you're in engineering and you're the one actually delivering projects, you're at the coalface of how the organization works, it's easier for you to maintain a sense of perspectives because you're seeing the organization deliver value to customers every single day. You're at the right at the intersection between the way the internal mechanics of a business works and the way the external environment receives the work of those internal mechanics. For many other people who are in different parts of the organization, so say for instance you work in finance in an engineering firm,
mm-hmm.
you can lose a sense of perspective about the world. I think the answer to that question is to practice a little bit of empathy and to try and walk through to try and experience the world through the customer's perspective and to try and spot opportunities that way. This is why I'm firmly of the view that not everybody can be an entrepreneur. And I think we need to be clear about that.
Mm.
But also you don't want a country that's full of entrepreneurs. You know, you want the people who are going to be the people that take risks, that are mad visionaries. But then you want those people to be supported by people who understand how to mechanistically build the entrepreneur's ideas, right? So the entrepreneur goes, we're sailing from, I don't know, Europe to the Americas. How are we going to get there? I'm not sure. We're going to build this thing called a boat. And you know, we're going to use wind to propel us as we sail through the seas and the oceans. That's the entrepreneur. The mechanistic people go, all right, so what kind of wood are we going to use? How much labor is it going to take? How much raw materials, et cetera, et cetera. Now, without that attention to detail, mechanistically, the vision will fail. And one of the things I'm learning is how important it is to manage both the vision as well as the mechanistic details on delivery. So you have to be ruthless, absolutely ruthless on managing delivery and managing details. I promise you now, I've seen many great businesses, many great ideas, and many phenomenal entrepreneurs with great potential fail because they opted out of managing detail. Detail is everything, and you have to be absolutely ruthless when it comes to managing detail.
Vusi, I'm sure you'd agree with me that you also have to be ruthless when it comes to disrupting industries as well.
Yeah.
So when you feel like you actually have come across an industry that you can actually disrupt, how do you know that this is exactly what the industry has been calling for?
Yeah, great question. So because we are a company that spends its time helping entrepreneurs accelerate and build their businesses, for us, understanding what is your propensity to respond is absolutely critical, and your propensity to be disruptive, absolutely critical. So we have this like model that we use in the firm, and I'm happy to share it. So we believe that the key focus has to be on NPS, this thing called Net Promoter Score that marketers talk about. How do you get it? And when you do an NPS, customers will rate you on whether they're detractors, neutral, or promoters. And the idea is you always want to move your customers right. So you want to move them from neutral to promoters, and you want to move them from detractors to neutral. That's the idea. And then you got to ask yourself, can we do that and at the same time deliver the product or service cheaper and better and faster?
Mm.
Now, to be tactically better than your competitor, you only actually have to do one of those things, be cheaper or better or faster. But if you really want to be disruptive, you have to do all three of those things, cheaper and better and faster. That's a very high level understanding. I have to tell you, making it work is an absolute dog show. But that's also where the magic is, right?
Mm.
The magic is in the delivery of that ideology. So somebody wants to create a new business in insurance and they want to disrupt the big insurance companies. They have to look at themselves by going, the value has to be for the client or for the end user customer. That's NPS. And how am I going to make sure that I'm cheaper or better or faster than a large organization that has the competencies, that has the economies of scale, and that has a far bigger distribution than me? And if you can answer those questions, that gives you a sense generally of whether or not you have the opportunity to build something.
Well, so this basically means that the small business owners need to learn how to take leadership.
100%. I'm of the view that when you're a small business manager, three of the most critical skills are strategy, people, and sales. That's my own personal view. If you can't perform those three roles well, you're going to battle to build your business. So strategy is important because you need to be able to see the wood through the trees. You need to be able to understand the environment you're working in. And you need to be able to smell what's happening in your ecosystem and in your environment. I remember saying internally in our own business at the beginning of lockdown, I said to them, one, the first thing I can guarantee you is that lockdown won't be 21 days. And the second thing I can tell you for free is that many of the small marginal players will die because they don't have the liquidity or balance sheets to survive this period. I was right. But so that's a little bit about having the nuance, the strategy. It really is about how do you read the environment that you're in, what I call seeing through the corner. If you've ever driven a car around the curve and you can't see around the corner, what you want as a great entrepreneur is the ability to be able to see through the corner, because that allows you to understand the speed that you can take that corner through. So that's the first bit. The second bit is everything you build requires people. That's just it. It just is the way it is. Even in the world of fourth industrial revolution with automation and robotics, we still need people. You need people to buy into the idea, to buy into the vision, to back it, to work it, and to execute it. And so your ability to work with people is absolutely critical. Now, notice I said work with people. I didn't say be liked by people, right? Some of the best, in my mind, some of the best entrepreneurs are people who are not particularly popular. And so when you're building a business, you need to make a decision about, do you want to be liked or do you want to be effective? Mm-hmm. Because often those are not the same things. So that's the second part. And then the third part is around the ability to portray an idea, to communicate it effectively and get people to buy in. And that's this thing around sales. And when people hear sales, they often think about the used car salesman, right? That you walk into the floor and, you know, he opens the car and lets you sit in and smell that smell of new leather, which, by the way, isn't new. It's a spray that they've sprayed on the secondhand car so that it smells new and that pushes up the value of the car. But that's what most people think about. But that's not where it stops. You know, if you watch the CEO of a Fortune 500 company today do an interview on Bloomberg 1.0, what you're realizing is that he's selling. He's selling his idea. He's selling himself. He's selling his vision. He's selling the purpose for that business. And so learning to convince and sell is absolutely critical. It's clear, though, I must make the point, sales is not marketing. Those are not the same things. And many entrepreneurs make that mistake. Mm-hmm. Many entrepreneurs think that building a Facebook page or having a great logo or a fantastic website is selling. That's marketing. That's branding. Selling is going, this is what I sell. Here's why you need it. And here's how much it's going to cost you. And by the way, buy now.
Fussy, these appear to be very intense skills that an entrepreneur needs to build over time. So would you say that you, when you started off in the industry, or these things that you actually knew?
Sure. That's an interesting question. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm not sure that I don't think anybody's born with those things, frankly. Mm. I think those are skills that you learn. So I learned how to sell working for a fantastic digital agency. I got to tell you, mid-2000s, right? So this is when the World Wide Web was the worldwide weight. I used to work for this like digital agency, work for this amazing Jewish guy. And he was the most incredible salesman to this day that I've ever known. And that's where I learned how to sell. Mm. I learned strategy working at Metro Cash & Carry, because part of my role was to be able to spot market opportunity and to build value propositions for that marketing opportunity. And so one of the things I had to learn was, how do you communicate and translate strategy? So one thing to see it, to instinctively feel it, but how do you convince people internally in the business that they should marshal resources towards it, right? So my job was to see it, but once I'd seen it, I had to build a business case to go and convince treasury to give me the capital, convince operations to give me the resources, convince IT to build me the technology, and then convince the board to give me the time and latitude to build that business. So that's kind of where I learned strategy. And people is a constant learning journey. I don't know of a single person that has the people thing completely on the nub, because that's about understanding personalities. It's a lot about understanding character, And I got to tell you, I still call it wrong. I still bring people into the firm who disappoint and let us down. And then I still bring people into the firm who are absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, the people one is probably the one that has the greatest sense of variation. But it's also the one where we are all constantly students. You are never a master of that, because people by their very nature are dynamic creatures.
Just before I let you go, Fussy, three tips that you would give to a person who's just started their side hustle and they're realizing that it's actually doing well and they're considering making the big move to just running the business full time. What would you say to them?
So the first thing I would say is keep your costs low. It's age old sage advice. You know, if you read The Richest Man in Babylon, that's literally one of the most important pieces of advice that comes out of there. Make sure that you know what you're doing and keep your costs low. So the first thing I would say is keep your costs low. Now, it sounds easy and thematic, but it's very hard. Eh? It's hard to keep your costs low because we're human beings and we have egos. You know, so the minute you've built your business or you've got a little bit of traction, you want to go and get right the fanciest piece of real estate, the greatest, fanciest office with the most fantastic, most modern piece of furniture. Yeah, and all of those are fixed costs, and those are, you know, fixed costs that you immediately write off because you get no return from those, right? No one's going to phone you because you're based in a particular office park. So the first point to make is keep your costs low. The second thing to say is take the long-term view. Early successes don't mean that you're going to only have successes. You will be tested. And at some point, the thing that works today will stop working, and you will have to try and find a new way to do it. So take the long-term view. And the third thing is remain teachable. The single most important thing you can do if you want to build yourself as a human being of value, frankly, if it transcends entrepreneurship, just as a human being of value, is to remain teachable. Remaining teachable is about having a sense of humility. It's about having a sense of perspective. It's about surrounding yourself with people who will take the time to guide you and to show you your own missteps, but also to bring and introduce to you new ideas and new knowledge. So you're never an expert. I say this to every single person in my own business and even all the entrepreneurs that we support. You are never an expert. You must constantly be a white belt. Mm-hmm. The day you become an expert is this day you start to die, because that means that you presume that what you know is all there is to know. Constantly remain teachable, remain hungry. As Steve Jobs said, it's stay young, stay foolish, right? That was the idea. Remain teachable, stay a white belt, and you will do well.
Fusi, thank you so much for your time. And I must say, we've learned quite a lot in this episode.
I'm humbled. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Vusitimba Gwayo, the CEO of My Growth Fund. Listen again next week to the Small Business Conversations podcast with me, Melita Ngalongulu. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za and the MoneyWeb app. Follow MoneyWeb News on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn for updates.